Well, we all know the story of David and Goliath. Now, Goliath was a man that was 9 feet 9 inches tall. And David, of course, was probably a young boy, maybe 14 years old, maybe 15. And we know that Goliath came out for 40 days and challenged the nation of Israel and challenged them and said, "Who is your God? You know, we're all powerful." He challenged the God of Israel. And when David came and heard that, he said, "How can this guy say this about the God of Israel and get away with it?" And so he didn't. David came through and, of course, stood for God and hit him in the head with a rock, killed him, and then cut his head off. And we saw that God used David to defend his people. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our study of strange passages, and we're going to see a world ruler challenging the people of God. His name is Sennacherib, and he's the king of Assyria. And as we look at this passage, we're going to meet a pagan king, a good king, a prophet, and an angel. And those four things tie together. And so let's get a little background. If you remember that David was the king of Israel, and he was the king of Israel for 40 years. When David died, his son Solomon became king, and Solomon was the king of Israel for 40 years. When Solomon died, the nation of Israel divided. There was a lot of conflict, and a guy by the name of Jeroboam took so many tribes, and Rehoboam took so many tribes, and the nation got divided. In fact, it divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was called Israel, had the capital at Samaria. The southern kingdom was called Judah, and the capital was at Jerusalem. Now, let me just say this. The northern kingdom had no good kings whatsoever. From the time they became a kingdom, they went off and they worshiped false gods. That first king, his name was Jeroboam, he actually put idols out. He made golden calves. He made the people try to worship there. And so from that point on, it was false worship in the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom had some good kings, mostly had some bad kings, but there were some good kings. We'll meet one of the good ones this time. In the year 722 B.C., the Assyrian Empire captured the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. And there was a king called Shalmaneser. And he came and he captured the northern kingdom. So they fell. Now left is the southern kingdom. And the main city in the southern kingdom is Jerusalem. At this time, a king by the name of Hezekiah, and you've probably heard of him, he's called Hezekiah the Good King. He's the king. Northern Empire falls. The Assyrians look like they're going to come and take the Southern Empire. And that'd be the end of Israel. That'd be the end of it. And we see that Hezekiah, I want you to look at chapter 18. Look at verse 2 Kings chapter 18. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, he became king." So I've got it right here that Hezekiah becomes the king of Judah. Israel, the northern part hadn't fallen yet, but I want you to notice what it says about him. In verse 2, it says he was 25 years old when he became the king, and he reigned for 29 years. Now look at verse 3. "He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." Now today his father wasn't David, but it means his like his grandfather, great-grandfather on up, means his descendant David had done. David, all of the good kings of the north were always judged by David. And all of the bad kings, all the good kings of the south and Jerusalem were always judged by David. All the bad kings of the north were always judged by a man by the name of Ahab and Jezebel. So we'll see more about that later. Look at verse 5. "He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah who were among those who were before him." He is one of the greatest kings of Judah. He's one of the greatest kings of the southern kingdom. And we know him as Hezekiah. Now, some years have passed after the northern kingdom fell in 722 B.C. Not very long after that, there is a new king. A new king that comes to the Assyrians, and his name is Sennacherib. I want you to look at verse 13. "Now, in the 14th year of the king of Hezekiah has been the king now 14 years, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them." He's coming to conquer the land. And so the word comes to Hezekiah that this new king of Assyria, they already conquered the northern Israel, the northern part. Now they're coming after the southern part. And this is all that's left. And they're beginning to capture the cities one by one. And now they're coming to Jerusalem, which is the capital. Hezekiah is the king, and he's ruling in Jerusalem. So here's what happens. They come to talk. Look at verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 18. It says, the kings of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaras and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a large army to Jerusalem. So they went up and they came to Jerusalem. When they went up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway of the fuller's field. So what happens is, here comes the big army. They come to Jerusalem. They send a few people up to the gate of Jerusalem. And they said, we'd like to tell you a message. That's what they're going to do. Now, on the gate is not Hezekiah, but some of his men. And his men are standing there, and they know this giant army is out there about to cap. If Jerusalem falls, the whole kingdom falls. And so they're standing there, and they don't know what to say. And they've already told everybody, don't say a word to these people out here. Don't make them any madder than they already are. We see from the other passages of Scripture, they say, don't talk to them. Don't say a word. So they come up to them, and in verse 19, they say, why do you have confidence? The great king of Assyria comes to destroy you. In verse 19, Rabshakeh said to them, say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what's your confidence that you have? You think you can defeat us? He's basically been telling people that the God of Assyria and the king of Assyria is greater than anyone, and nobody can stop him. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the God of Assyria and the king of Assyria greater than the God of Israel? Of course not. He's the true God. He's the great God. He can do anything. And if Jerusalem were to fall to the Assyrians, it wouldn't be because God's not a great God. It's because God let Assyria capture them. But let's see what happens. What would you do if you were on the wall and they were on horses out there looking at you saying, do you think you can stop us? Do you think your God can stop us? Has anybody stopped us? Tell that to your king. Y'all, in fact, they said, listen, if any of you people there would like to run out right now, we'll save your lives. If you want to defect right now and just come on over, and rather than stay in the city and be killed. They tell them all that. And Hezekiah has confidence. Let me tell you, they sent these messengers, and Hezekiah had confidence in the Lord. But look at the guy on the wall. And look at verse 26 of 2 Kings 18. His Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebath and Joah said to Rabshakeh, they say to the guy taunting the nation of Israel, here's what they say. They say, would you speak in Aramaic? For we understand it. Do not speak with us in Judean in the hearing of the people on the wall. You know what they're saying? Talk to us in just a language that we understand, because we don't want all the rest of the people to hear what you're saying. We don't want them all to be any scarier than they already are. They're basically saying, speak in, you know, Aramaic. We understand that. Don't speak basically in Hebrew, is what, because they said Judean, which is Hebrew. He said, don't speak in Hebrew, because we don't want all the people to hear what you're saying. What were they saying? You're all going to die. You need to give up. Our God is better than your God. You need to quit. What did Goliath say when he walked out for those 40 days? Every day he came out and said, is the God of Israel able to defeat me? No. Get somebody to come out to fight me. And so he made fun of the God of Israel. That's why David, when David came and he saw that, he said, this guy's making fun of our God. Now, in this situation, who's making fun of God? The king of Assyria. He's making fun of God. Now, let me ask you a question. What would you do? He said, please speak in Aramaic so the people can't hear the challenge. So then what did Hezekiah do? Because they went and told Hezekiah. I want you to look at chapter 19. Look at verse 1. And when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of the Lord. So what's he going to do? He's going to pray. He tore his clothes, which shows in that day and time, it meant, I'm really, really, really upset. So he tears his clothes, which shows he's really, really upset. And then he put on sackcloth, and he covered himself with ashes and sackcloth. And he went into the house of the Lord. That's the temple area. He's going to go talk to God. He went to pray. And then here's what he did. He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, with Shebna, the scribe, and the elders, the priests, covered. He sent them to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Now, who is Isaiah? What do you know about Isaiah? I mean, he wrote the book, right? 66 chapters. It's big, long. He's the prophet Isaiah, and prophet Isaiah prophesies all through this time period. And so if you wanted to know something from God, who did you go to? Went to Isaiah. So King Hezekiah goes into the temple and says, somebody go tell Isaiah what's going on and tell him what's happening. And so in verse 4, it says, he says, perhaps the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, this the king of Assyria, and he'll protect us. And he says, offer a prayer. And so they do that. So the servants came to Hezekiah. Now, what do you think Hezekiah did? I mean, excuse me. They came to Isaiah. The servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Look at verse 6 and 7. He sent this message. And here's what Isaiah says, the word of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. You got the word of the Lord. Are you pretty much okay when you got the word of the Lord? All right? Let me ask you a question. Do you have the word of the Lord? Yes. You have a whole book. It's amazing that we treat it as nothing. We go, I got the Bible. I'm just going to set it over here. I'm not even sure what happened to my Bible. You know, you've got the word of the Lord in your hand. You've got the written message. We call it revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. You have the inspired word of God in your hand. And now, they didn't have that. They had some. They didn't have all that. Moses has written some things. They didn't have all this. And so they go to Hezekiah, to Isaiah, and said, tell us. And so Isaiah, verse 6 of chapter 19, Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, say this to king, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. This is God talking. He said, you don't have to be afraid of these people who are saying bad things about me. I'm the true God, but you don't have to be afraid of them. Watch what he says is going to happen. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. So the word that Isaiah says, go back and tell King Hezekiah that you don't have to be afraid of this man. You don't have to be afraid of this king. They can make fun of me all they want to. But let me tell you what, it's going to happen. He's going to turn around and go home. He's going to go home and he's going to be killed. That's the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. He's going to return home and be killed. Guess what happens? The messengers leave for a short time, and then they come back. And they come back the second time. And when they come back the second time, how is Hezekiah going to respond this time? Because the messengers return. How does he respond? What does he know is going to happen? Tell me what he knows. He knows what? The guy's going to get this message. This king of Assyria is going to get a message, and he's going to do what? What's he going to do? Go back home, and what's going to happen when he gets home? He's going to get killed. So if you're Hezekiah, you're not worried about it, except they come back. He already knows. Look at chapter 19. Look at verse 14 when he finds out what happens. Then Hezekiah, they took, that second time they came back, they had a letter. And they said, give this letter to your king. And the letter said, we're going to destroy Jerusalem and kill everybody in it, and your God can't defeat us. So Hezekiah gets it, and what does he do? But Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messenger, and he read it, and he went to the house of the Lord. And what did he do? What does it say? He spread it out before the Lord. Can you see him? He goes there, and he unrolls this message, and he says, have you read this? Have you read this? He spread the message out before the Lord. And look what God says. Now, we already know the answer, right? What's going to happen to this man? He's going to go home and get killed. That's what we know. But there's more to it. Look at verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, you're enthroned above the cherubim. You are the God. You're alone are the king of over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heaven and earth. Please incline your ear, O Lord. Open your eyes, O Lord. Listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. He said, listen to what this guy is saying. Listen to what God says. Then Isaiah sends a message. Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria." What does he say? "I have heard you." When you pray, does God hear you? Can you pray anytime, anyplace, anywhere about anything? Does God hear every one of your prayers? He always hears your prayers. Does he answer every prayer? Yes. It may be yes, and it may be no, and it may be wait. Huh? He always answers them. He answers every prayer, but it may not be what you want. "Oh, I want this." "No, that's not best." "But I want it." "Then that's not best." So sometimes he doesn't give you what you want, right? What has he said to Isaiah to tell to Hezekiah? "I have heard you." Wow. There's more. In verses 29 through 31, he says, Judah will survive. You don't have to worry. He says, he actually says, "Don't worry about it. You're going to plant stuff here, and next year you'll plant something else again," and all this stuff. See, so he's telling them, you're not going to get killed. You're going to be planting and doing all your normal stuff. And then here's the key. Watch what he says. Verse 32 and 33. "Thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria." Watch this. "He will not come into the city. He will not shoot an arrow there. He will not come in it with a siege. He will with a shield. He will not throw up a siege ramp against it." He's looking. He's not even going to come into the city. He won't even shoot an arrow into the city. He won't come with a shield into the city. He's not even going to throw a big ramp up against and try to climb over the wall. He's basically saying, you don't have to worry. He's not even going to attack. Now, they're standing outside the city ready to attack, and God sends the word back from Isaiah to Hezekiah, you don't have to worry. They won't even attack. Now, look at verse 33. "By the same way he came, by the same way he will return, and he shall not come to the city." What has he already told him he's going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to go home and what? Now, let me ask you something. And by the way, you can't mess around with God and Hezekiah and Isaiah and all that stuff. What happened? One angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. So is this coming back? It's going to be a while on this? Keep going? Okay. Huh? Oh, yeah. I know that. I can tell. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, it's on. Okay. So here's what we know. God fulfills his word. The king of Assyria challenged the true God. The good king Hezekiah prayed. The prophet Isaiah gets the word. God will defend his city and his soldiers and his people. He defeats 185,000 soldiers killed by the angel of the Lord. So let's think about some applications. When trials and problems come, go to the Lord in prayer. What are you going to do? When things come and it's out of the ordinary or just anything happens, what should you do? You say, how are we going to solve this? Go to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. That's what we do. Every one of us in this room, I guarantee you, have at least one thing bothering you. Right? One thing. There's probably more than one thing. So what do you do with these sort of things? Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What did Hezekiah do every time there was an issue? He went straight to God. Second, God's going to defend his people. Just remember this. We got to get through because we got to go to Groger's. But just remember, God's going to defend his people, Israel. Always going to do that. We saw it last week when the donkey, when that bad prophet, you know, Balaam was trying to go curse the nation of Israel. He couldn't do it because God blessed him. And we see in this passage that the Assyrians cannot destroy Jerusalem because God will not allow it. God defends his people. The third thing, angels are very powerful beings. Whether this is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate or whether it's just a regular angel, we don't know. It doesn't really say that. The way it's written, it could be either one. But one thing for sure is we know angels are very powerful. And last but not least, God's word is always true, whatever he says. You know what he said to me? He said, JB, the moment you believe in Jesus, I give you what? Eternal life. I have eternal life. The moment we believe in Jesus, we have eternal life. His word is true in every promise. Everything that he does is true.